New York City is heading toward a statistical milestone. It appears certain that New York will end the year with fewer than 1,000 homicides for the first time since 1968. Crime overall has dropped dramatically in New York, and the number of murders is down most sharply, nearly a 50% decline citywide since 1993. As some New Yorkers point out, there are about 1,000 people alive in the city this year who would have been dead if past trends had continued. NPR's Melissa Block reports on what the drop in crime means to a precinct that not so long ago was nicknamed the Killing Fields.
Roll call at the 7-5.
Proventure.
Yes, sir.
Rodriguez.
Yes, sir.
Post 9, 1430.
The 75th precinct covers East New York, a nearly 6-square-mile section of Brooklyn. And if you're looking for ground zero of New York City crime, this is as good a place as any to start. The 75th precinct has the city's highest number of robberies, rapes, felonious assaults, and the second highest number of murders.
Here's another one from a gunshot from a robbery. Here's a domestic violence stabbing with a knife. This was a particularly tragic case. This was a mother.
Deputy Inspector Edward Cannon, the commanding officer of this precinct, scrolls through the list of this year's homicides.
Domestic dispute with a rifle. Here's someone getting stabbed with an ice pick, a matter of disrespect on the street.
It's a chilling list, but it's a lot shorter than it used to be. In 1993, the peak year, there were 126 murders in this precinct. This year, they expect to have fewer than 40. That's a nearly 70% drop in just 3 years. Sergeant Bill Goodbody says in the early 90s, most of the violence was drug-related.
Virtually every corner in the 7-5 was spoken for. So now you get into drug wars. You know, if I meander around to your corner, we have a dispute. And, you know, those disputes a lot of times are solved violently.
The drug trade still flourishes here. Out on the street, you can spot dealers, twitchy and looking over their shoulders. But now, apparently, much of the trade has moved indoors, and the turf wars have shaken themselves out. Inspector Cannon says a couple other factors are at work in bringing crime down. One is more cops. They have 85 more officers here now. Also, the police are actively cracking down on minor quality-of-life offenses, drinking in public, for example.
And the person that's hanging out on a corner drinking beer, hey, maybe he's a working guy, but our experience is that a lot of times people that are hanging out on corners drinking beer, they get stupid, you know, and the next thing you know, they get into a drunken fight, and somebody pulls a knife or pulls a gun, and sometimes that results in a homicide, you know.
On a drive through the precinct, officers Mike Michelini and William Grahofsky come upon a traffic dispute in progress.
Get out.
The officers get out of the car and quickly break it up.
Get out of here. You've got kids in the car.
It sounds minor. A man was crossing the street with a can of beer and slapped the hood of a Volkswagen that came too close.
So now you have a little dispute ensue, and the guy in the car wants to take him on with his whole family in the car. Two babies in the back, wife in a passenger seat. He wants to start a brawl that could get him out all killed. Real smart.
The officers say that time and time again, they've seen the aftermath when incidents like this one have escalated into violence. What's remarkable, they say, is that now, because they're freed up from pursuing so many major crimes, they can intervene before violence occurs.
Before, all we would be doing, we'd be going to murder scene, to homicide scene, to rape scene, to burglaries, whatever. We'd be going from place to place, running around like maniacs, and just taking reports, taking fingerprints, doing whatever we do. Now we can stop them before they happen.
Like, say you go from 36 radio runs a night to, like, I don't know, 12, 15 per car. It's been a dramatic drop. I mean, since I've been here, I mean, we used to go crazy in a police car. You know, you'd get in the car, and you just answer one call, get done with that, answer another call, and another call, and another call. You don't get to eat dinner, nothing.
Rolling secretaries is what we were before.
These officers are in charge of what used to be called the dead zone, for obvious reasons. In 1993, in this 20-block area, there were 25 homicides. This year, one. The streets that once rang with the constant echo of gunfire are quiet now. You can measure that change at the corner of Williams and Riverdale, which used to be a virtual drug supermarket. Veronica Glover points through the cold rain to her street-level apartment on the corner.
This is my window here. Right here. This was the worst spot in the world for drugs. They used to set up right here in front of my window. Their cocaine, their crack, everything. They used to do everything. And this building here, 526, It's a bullet hole where a young man got shot, and he ran that way, and he died eventually. You can still see the bullet hole.
Right through the door?
Yeah.
It was so bad here, Veronica Glover says, that the mailman wouldn't deliver the mail. Cabs wouldn't come if you called. She wouldn't let her children go outside alone. Now that's all changed, thanks in part to a crackdown by the police, who, they say, hit these corners like a cyclone, circling back again and again and again. Samuel French, who's lived here for 20 years, says time took its toll on the drug dealers.
Them ain't dead, they in jail.
If they're not dead, they're in jail?
Yes, yeah. A whole lot of them got locked up around.
Locked up or killed. Throughout the precinct, there are murals honoring slain drug dealers, bold testimonials spray-painted onto the sides of buildings. At the East New York Urban Youth Corps, sights are set on a new, revitalized community. With an infusion of government grants, the group has been rehabilitating old apartment buildings in an area that spiraled rapidly down through the 70s and 80s.
Whole blocks were burnt down because of abandoned buildings. It was not unusual to walk for 3 or 4 blocks in a row in East New York and not encounter a single standing home. The area was completely devastated.
Manuel Burgos works with the East New York Urban Youth Corps. He grew up and still lives in this neighborhood. And he sees a community being reborn, the vacant, trash-filled lots being replaced with new single-family homes, the drug-dealing bodegas being shut down. Still, violence is all around, and it hit close to home this past March when one of the Youth Corps' staff members was killed at the age of 21.
He was involved with the gang. It caught up to him. We tried very hard to get him away from that, but in the long run, he got away.
To help keep others from getting away, community groups have organized activities like this after-school volleyball program to keep kids off the street and out of trouble. Kids like 8th grader Orville Muckle, who tells the story of a boy at his school who was jumped by other students, beaten unconscious with a bottle, and ultimately died.
My one friend, I bust a bottle over the head. He's in jail for life now because he the one that put him unconscious with the bottle. It was pretty scary because one day that could happen to me.
It's hard to convince Orville that crime is down. He's been jumped himself. And even though he sees more cops now, he says that's not always a good thing.
They keep on harassing my older brother, and he ain't doing nothing. Because, like, my brother, he dressed nice, and he got a big chain and everything. So they think that he a drug dealer, but all he do is he work. So the cops, they pull him over, and they be like, come in. My brother like, I don't know that you're a cop. So they get out, and all they do is harass them. They make them get in front of the wall, in front of everybody. Everybody's standing there watching them. Every time they do that, my brother getting madder and madder. And they arrest the innocent people while the other big drug dealers are still out there.
Many in this community are worried about Orville's generation. If crime is to stay down, they say, these kids need attention. Fully one-third of the 75th precinct's population is under the age of 18.
Hello, my name is Selena Villanueva, and I'm
Selena is going door-to-door in the precinct, helping conduct a survey on how safe people feel and what their experience has been with crime.
To what extent are you fearful or concerned that someone may physically attack or beat you while outside in this area?
Very concerned.
Lizette Pena is very concerned through page after page of questions. Very concerned she'll be robbed. Very concerned someone will hurt her children or break into her home. She lives in a rehabbed building that's clean and brightly lit with a working intercom in the lobby, but she doesn't feel safe.
Actually, someone got robbed, a child got robbed in this building, coming from the store. Luckily, I walked in on it. He was coming from the store from buying something for his mother, and right here in between the doors, another teenager caught him and put a knife to his throat, trying to get money from him. And I walked in time. When I walked in, he ran out. So he didn't get to hurt him, but the little boy was crying because he was scared.
Every year, Lizette Pena says, it gets worse and worse, and drugs are the main problem. Crime may be way down in the 75th precinct, but Lizette Pena's perception of crime still hinges on the memory of a frightened 10-year-old boy with a knife at his throat. For many residents here, like Lizette Pena, the barometer is not how far the precinct has come, but how far it still has to go. I'm Melissa Block in New York.